Good morning. This shiur is going to deal with yesterday's parsha, which gives us an understanding of what's happening today. According to the principle of Maaseh Avot Siman LeBanim, the book of Bereishis contains many episodes concerning the forefathers. And the explanation given in the oral tradition, preserved in the Midrashim, in the Zohar, and developed by one of the great classical commentators, the Ramban, that there are many aspects of what is described we explain what's happening today. And this is also indicated by the beginning of yesterday's parsha, where Avram, without the Chumash describing much about his background, Hashem gave him a mission. According to traditions, he had a great struggle to reach the stage of dedicating himself to the Creator and having an understanding of Him, and then spreading faith in the Creator in an idolatrous world in which he had been reared by his family, by his parents. But then Hashem responded and gave him a universal message. He said, you have to go on a particular path, Lech Lecha, and if you will keep on this path, then through you will be blessed all the families of the earth. Which seems to be something almost impossible. Because how can the one person bring blessing to the millions of people in the earth? But that was his task. And it was made even more impossible because he and his wife couldn't have children, which is also emphasized. So this is something which, when it was revealed, seemed to be an impossibility. If you look at the beginning of the 12th chapter, through you we'll be blessed. The one person will be blessed, all the families of the earth. But the truth is that the rest of the Bible, the rest of the Tanakh, is a description of the development of the descendants, and also not the descendants, who were influenced by Avram at the initial stage. And then they developed into groups, into nations that influenced all the families of the earth. And this we see is true until today. More true than it's ever been. Because the Bible, which is the development both of the ethnic descendants of Avraham Avinu, and also of all those who attach themselves to the same principles of life, and although all those, if not influenced directly by the path of Avraham Avinu, but indirectly, in recognizing that there's a moral God and there are moral principles. So, this was the true development from the Noahide Code, which is given to all mankind, but became forgotten. But it was revived through the Bible, through the influence of Avram, if you go right back to the origin. But not only in general has this become a part of human history, also the concept is developed in those first few verses where the mission was given to Avram. He was told that those who bless you will be blessed. That means all those who give support to the path of Avram, which is described a few chapters later as to follow the path of Hashem, of the Creator. Latzot tzedaka u'mishpat, to establish charity and justice in the world. So some who cursed this approach became destroyed, as we find also in the life of Avraham Avinu, in fact, where this statement is mentioned, when they developed a very corrupt society in Sodom and Amorah, affluent, but corrupt, and especially corrupt in Tzedakah u'Mishpat. And that society became destroyed. But others who were willing to attach themselves to the path of Avraham, they were saved. And this has happened throughout the ages. All sorts of empires have arisen. Some of them adopting some of the more moral principles of Avraham, and they've had a good influence on the world. And other societies have gone the opposite direction. They said, we don't want this lifestyle. And they strengthened the qualities which you find of Sodom and Amorah, like the Nazis, for example. So they rejected it. So Sodom and Amorah said also, the human conscience, which wants to take pity on strangers and on the weak, isn't evil, because it causes limitations to our desire for affluence. And Amalek also said we want to destroy the conscience. And later the Nazis also said we want to destroy the conscience. In the end, there is the decline and the fall of all these empires. Although, unfortunately, the choice is given every generation, also like it's given to every human individual, to choose between virtue and vice. As it says in the teachings, which were triggered by Avraham Avinu and passed on to the people of Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu, see, I said before you today, life, which is virtue, and death, which is vice. It's up to you to choose, as individuals, and as a nation, and as mankind. So, in a certain manner, what is described in yesterday's parsha, in more detail, is unbelievable. And first I'll refer to chapter 15, where the vision is given of what's going to happen to the descendant of Avraham Avinu. And very interesting, in the authorized ancient English translation, authorized version, this 15th chapter is called the Holocaust. Why? Because it describes how these animals were cut up. And the bird wasn't cut up. And the deeper description, especially if one connects this prophetic vision with the words that accompany it, and one connects it with further visions of empires referred to as animals, which you find partly already described in the prophecies, especially of Yechezkel, but also some of the other prophets, and in the visions of Daniel. So therefore, the description here not only of what might happen through the Empire of Egypt in trying to destroy the people of Israel before they were born almost, but there's a hint here that it might continue. It all depends if the seed of Avraham, they really pursued this path of being loyal to Hashem. And the sages say that when it says in chapter 15, verse 17, it says like this, it's a certain image which is repeated a few times in the Tanakh, came to pass when the sun went down, was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. In the same day, Hashem made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your seed I've given this land, and describes the giving of the land to some extent in its widest borders, to be given to the people of Israel. And the sages already say, what is the significance of the burning oven, smoking oven, and the torch of fire? So they say this is a reference to the persecution of the nations that burn up the people of Israel. Well, this is the Holocaust. There's no better description of the Holocaust than the crematoriums and the burning fire, the gas, and the crematoriums, the ovens. And they burnt them, burnt up the bodies, as they burnt up the synagogues. So this is reference to the Holocaust. It might happen. There's a principle that is quite clear if you read the prophecies of the whole of the Bible, that Hashem gives many prophecies of what might happen. But it always says, if you will repent and turn to Hashem, you have the Bible, and you have the message from Hashem, then it won't happen. And we would have hoped that it wouldn't have happened. But things have happened. So from this, the next passage, chapter 16, is even more literal in our time than it's ever been before. Just like the Holocaust wasn't so long ago, and it's always referred to here. Now the implication at the beginning of this chapter, which begins the history of the people of the covenant, those who follow Abraham Avinu, it would appear Hashem is saying, you're going to have descendants. You can't say through you will bless all the families of the earth. It must mean his successors. It can't be himself. Himself is limited. Now it could be this is going to happen. They won't have children. Nevertheless, he'll be called the father. Abraham is the father of Aram. He's called Abraham, the father of all mankind, because he's the teacher of mankind. Because the concept of fatherhood applies also to being a teacher and a guide. It's also a father, in the words of the Bible, words of the Tanakh. And Av Amon Goyim obviously means the one who's influenced and shown all the nations that there's a moral path, which is the aim which the Creator has in mind for the human race. Nevertheless, we see from the whole further descriptions, Ma'aseh Avot Siman LeBanim, that there was great importance attached to having actual children. Even though Abram and Sarai, Et HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, says right at the beginning, the souls that they made in Haran, that means they brought Tachat Kanfei HaShechina, they were able to attract a whole group who would follow in the path of Hashem. For the simple meaning, as described in the Noahide Code, they would develop it, this concept. Noahide Code is a minimum for civilization, and they would build on it. These were the Nefesh of the Haran, which began, according to the sages, the period of Torah. of guidance towards morality. So, you see, Avram and Sarah were very keen to have a child, because a child can more easily accept the guidance of parents than a person who is strange doesn't know the parents. So you have to take and build it up, especially as it's regarded in the context of the Bible, the genes of parents include not only physical characteristics, but also can contain acquired characteristics, those who have acquired throughout their life. And if people are trained their whole selves to dedicate themselves to virtue and to kindness, this does have an effect upon them, upon their body, even, on their physical self, and of all the cells of the body, which ultimately are in energy. And that energy ultimately is something spiritual. In the mind-body relationship, it's accepted in the Bible that the two cannot be separated. And when people set their minds to be self-centered and evil and arrogant, then it leaves a trait in their character, unless they change. They should also make a change. But if they don't make a change, it also leaves a trait in the character of all those whom they bring into this world, the children, in one way or another. So therefore, I don't have a child from Avram, but she did have an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. And if you go into more deeply, as it's described in Midrashim, and also in the ancient translations of the Targum, that Hagar was the daughter of Paro, and this had some connection with the way in which Paro already met Avraham and Sarai. And in fact, he took Sarai to be his wife. But immediately when that happened, he became a leper. He didn't know what to do, so he asked Avraham. He said, Avraham is a saintly man. Pray to your God, I should be healed. And he was healed. Therefore, Paro saw that, in contrast to the idolatrous way he'd been going, because Paro was the son of Nimrod. Nimrod was the great dictator of the generation of the dispersion, who built the Tower of Babel and wanted to rebel against God, and thought that man is stronger than God. And, you know, the tower fell down and everything, the nations were dispersed, but Nimrod didn't really change. And he kept on ruling as much as he could of the Babylonian Empire. And his son, Paro, was able to negotiate that his son would become the ruler of Egypt. At that time, these were the two big empires. First was the main empire, the Sumerian Empire. And then afterwards, Egypt gradually grew also to become a major empire. So therefore, it says, if you want to go more deeply, Hagar, she had been used to the idolatrous palace of her father. But when her father changed, which is influenced by what happened between him, Sarah, and Avram, so Paro thought even to himself, I'd like this Hagar, because he saw that Sarah is a very saintly person, maybe you go and try it out, see what it's like. So she went and joined the household, and she was very pleased with it. She saw there was a divine atmosphere, as it would appear also from her statements afterwards. She had an understanding of angelic powers in the house of Avram and Sarah, because they were like angels, and they were accompanied by so different atmosphere, entirely the opposite atmosphere of what she'd experienced in the palace of Paro, in every way. But she liked it. She grew to it. And Sarah herself was also impressed. Here's one of our proselytes are following our way. She said, look, let her have a child, but I'll rear the child. It'll be my child. So what happened? When she had the child, and she was intimate with Avram, so she thought, well, obviously, Sarai is not internally as good as I am. I've come from afar. Well, no, she also came from afar originally. But still, Hashem obviously wants my child to be the one who continues with Avraham Avinu and Sarai. Okay, but she's also part of it, but not on my level. And then, unfortunately, she became arrogant. And she thought that did no longer regard herself, you read between the lines, as the Shifra. She regarded herself as the Geveret, as the mistress of the house. And so, at that time also, it was possible to have co-wives. You know. So that's what happened. Sarai gave herself over and thought, well, it's sincere, and I have to do it, because Avram wants continuity, and for the sake of Avram, to carry on the great covenant he has, which is so important. So, the son of, which will be born, if it will be a son, a Ben. Ben is Lashon Binyan, build up. The concept of children in the Bible are regarded potential builders of this world, to build up the world, not to destroy it. That's the purpose of children. That's why naturally, especially mothers who go through much more inner turmoil than the father, to produce next generation, they feel very much that I want my children to build up the world. That's the natural maternal instinct. They won't destroy whatever's around, to build. So, this is, she said, Ulai Ibane Mimena. So Avram said, okay, Avram was not so sure. He listened to the voice of Sarai. He still had the feeling that the future must come from Sarai herself, the future child that will continue. But still, if Sarai wants it, and knew she was a big tzaddikah, so I'll follow her. That's why even the words that he used, she took Sarai, she was the Eshet Avram, and she took her as a Shifcha, and she gave herself even Avram Isha Loi Leisha, not as a Pilegesh, as the wife. She said, right, she become your wife. Why? Because through that, I don't know if I'll ever have a child. She had doubts, more doubts than Avram. There would be a miracle. But then, what happened? When she saw she was pregnant, then, if you look at the beginning of chapter 16, she didn't write Sarah anymore as the Geveret, as the mistress. She was now the true wife. So that was then, Yishbor Hashem ben Yivanecha. So Avram said, you do what you think is necessary. So Sarah, she fought. She wanted to limit her arrogance that started now. So therefore, she treated her very strictly with inui, even some things that hurt her, to put her down. Which was to the consent of Avram, because he also thought, he was in fact thought, ultimately Sarai has to remain the mistress. As a result of this, Ogo fled, and then she came to this well, and at this well, she got a revelation from angels. First mention of angels in the Chumash. It was often an important message. And the message was very unusual. Malach said, first of all, when she saw also, she recognized angelic beings a little bit, because that was something common in the house of Avram Sarai. So that's what Satan, but she reckoned it's a different, you enter there into a different world of spirituality. But here they gave a specific message and said, go back to your, she's your mistress. And she heard this, because she certainly was one who believed in God as the creator, and that God could give messages, as she knew God had given messages to Avram and Sarai. And now she said, yes, it's Ani. You've got to regard yourself as a servant, not as the mistress. But you shouldn't think that this is something small. It says you're going to have an enormous productivity. From you will descended millions of people, which can't be counted. And then you said to her something else. You should call this son Yishmael. Now this is very unusual. This means the first name in the Tanakh which carries the name of God. And the name of God, Aleph Lam, means the power of God, and means the power of loving kindness. Kel is a lashon of power, which is produced through Chesed. And that's going to be Yishmael. That's going to be your son. And also, Hashem has listened to your affliction. In other words, the affliction has put you down, it's hurt you a bit. And therefore, Hashem is going to give great power to Ishmael. And then says, he's going to be Pere Adam, he's going to be very wild. Yatov HaKol, and his wildness is to go and be free to attack and even destroy the whole, all human beings. But Yad Kol Boy, but also others that he wants to conquer, they'll try to overpower him. And also, he'll be the leading power from amongst all his brothers, his family. So, if you go into it more deeply, it's difficult to understand why the Malach gave her, even before he was born, the name Yishmael, which is into the future. Ki Shama, because Hashem has listened to you now. You shouldn't be called Shemael. Hashem has listened to you. Why Yishmael? Because he will listen. So, we spoke in another shiur about the significance of key words, Kizeru Shava. There's something deeper, in a way, because Kizeru Shava deals with halachic teaching learned from key words, which you know by tradition. But also, this is a midah, Shatorah Nidreshet Bahem, in Agadah. If you understand deep aspects of the Tanakh, where else do we find the name Ishmael? So the sages say, I'll just mention two passages we'll find it. Of course, that's the name Ishmael himself was given. And we find also that Hashem listened to Ishmael himself. So Ishmael tells him, oh, he's listened to you now, but also he's going to listen to prayers which come out of affliction, of feeling hurt. There are going to be further times when people are feeling hurt. The next time was when Yitzchak, who had already been born, and then the rivalry started between Yitzchak and Ishmael. Ishmael was Brit Milah. Ishmael also believed in Hashem, also prayed to him, as did Yitzchak. And then, it was clear, Abraham Avinu, who knew he had a mission to fulfill, when Yitzchak was born, he said, this is the true son, but Ishmael is also my son. In fact, he says later, if you look, Lu Ishmael Yichel Fanech, he said, before Yitzchak was born, he said, maybe Ishmael will be my successor, and he'll carry on everything. He believes in Hashem. He took on a Brit Milah at Bar Mitzvah. But not like in the future, little children. Bar Mitzvah is more difficult. He was willing to do it. So therefore, under my guidance, also together with Zorah and Hogar, he also regarded as a co-wife. So we'll be able to raise up Ishmael to go in the right direction. As Sarah wanted Ibane Mimeno, she'll also take part in educating Ishmael. And probably when Avraham said that Lu Ishmael Yichel Fanecha, he also had in mind that Sarah will help me. And then she was still quite ready to help. Because that was the time when Yitzchak hadn't been born yet. So also Sarah thought, okay, Hogar's done teshuva, she came back, and she's been very good since then. And there's no need in any way to limit now her freedom, like I did when she became so arrogant. She's left side that arrogance. It was just for a short time that she felt like that, and she had to flee from us. But the Malachim, after all, taught her a lesson. And that affects also Ishmael. He joined in with the Brit, he joined in with everything. Fine. When he was young, I suppose he got a very good chinuch from Avram and Sarah. And could it be the future nation that could have happened? And that was the hope. But when he became one of our mitzvahs, then Yitzchak was born. And then the jealousy came between the two brothers. And when it reached its breaking point, when Sarah saw, Hine Ishmael was Metzachik Eis Yitzchak, but no. Otherwise, Yitzchak was younger, and he made fun of him, and he targeted him, and seemed to, in playing, he was keen to kill him, because he saw that once Yitzchak was born, so both Avram and Sarai, that was the main continuer. He was now in place of the Bechor, in place of the firstborn. And of course it made treated rivalry. As happens in families, it all starts with the family. It happens in many families. It's a, there's the firstborn. And then, he's the whole continuer of the family. 13 years later, another child comes into the world. It's very, very difficult to overcome that innate family jealousy. And some people can do it, but it's very difficult. So he said, I'm greater. But we see that somehow or other, Avram, he very much favored Ishmael as well. In fact, Avram's point was, Lu Ishmael Yichel Lefanecha. And then afterwards also, that Sarah had to tell Avraham, Goresh et ha'omo hazoes, drive out this maidservant. She's no longer like your true wife, she's a maidservant. And her son. Because Hogar also felt that the firstborn is Ishmael. It's quite natural. That's what she would feel. But Sarah knew that she's behaving quite well, but still, inside she gave encouragement to Ishmael to assert his priority. That's what's going on here. So, and Avram didn't see it so much, right? What was Avram's concept? What's the Brit with Hashem? The Brit is to establish ultimately a nation. And a nation needs spiritual characteristics. The essence of the nation is to be a holy nation, to serve Hashem. But as we see, we can understand it better from the later situations that took place, both with Yitzchak and his two sons, and then with Am Yisrael and the 12 tribes. The idea of the nation is, you've got to create a spiritual moral power, but in a materialistic world. The spiritual moral power should not exist as a separate entity amongst mankind, but it's got to pervade the material world. The essence of the path of virtue is not to have people who will be Nazirites and who will be high priests. The essence is to be a priest, a mamlechet kohanim. It's got to be a state. With all the aspects of a state, we have people who engage in commerce, people who engage in agriculture, people who engage in defense, people who engage in creating law and order. And all these to establish a nation. And all these areas have to be pervaded with spirituality and morality. How do you do that? That's the challenge of the Brit Abraham. Therefore, v'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachot adama, this blessing has got to extend to all the whole world. They've all got to recognize it. The whole world is made up of so many different materialistic ambitions. They've all got to work together to produce a society of tzedaka u'mishpat, following the Derech Hashem. It's got to be based on self-discipline. If there's no self-discipline, which will improve character of individuals and families and societies and nations and the international community, mankind will go to pieces. And if we do have such a sight, and that was the concept of Ishmael and Yitzchak being part of the Brit of Avraham Avinu, as is indicated in this and next week's parsha, in many ways. But Sarah is, who after all, really she's given herself over the utmost, even on the basis she wouldn't have a child, to go and raise Hagar to a high level, as well as Ishmael. But when he saw here, he's already now practicing archery, Rovi Kashos, and he's shooting different things, shooting animals and so on, goes and shoots at Yitzchak. So this is already danger level. A Koresh, Kiloi Rash, Ibnim Yitzchak. There's no way this can be part of the Yerusha. I mean, now, Pidin, it's not so simple. Maybe, materially, he gets a good, gets a double portion. As happened, as also, the din in the Yerusha of Am Yisrael, the Bechor, gets a double portion. Halacha, even if the next one takes over all the spiritual continuity of the parents. The firstborn, even if he goes away from everything, takes double portion. And therefore, Avraham Avinu, when he's sent away, you know, he also made sure, you see afterwards, that the tribes of Ishmael should get plenty of material wealth. And Hashem also sorted it. So, this continues the episode. So she had to send him away. Now, the question is Ishmael. The great power of Ishmael, they indeed continue part of the spiritual heritage, more than any other group, and that was belief in one invisible God. So therefore they were given in the name of Aleph Lamed before Am Yisrael. Because in this, they were even before us as a nation. Ishmael, they believe in one God until today. But Pere Adam, you can even put it this way, if you want to go into the concept of genes, the genetic concept. Hagar was after all the daughter of part of the granddaughter of Nimrod. And she went very far in subjecting herself so much against the spirit of Nimrod, who believed in the arrogance and strength of man. And Paro was affected by what happened to him, as we described. So he saw that there's great spiritual power in the home of Avraham and Sarah. So, but Hagar, that also brought Hagar to rebel. Didn't think she's the mistress. But she came back. But then, when she was driven out, together with her son, it says Ishmael. Again, Hashem listened to Ishmael at that time, Because that time Ishmael really prayed out of the troubles with a sincere heart. They say, Vayishma Elokim et kol ana basher hu sham, as he was then. He was in suffering and he thought he was going to die of thirst. So he prayed and prayed to Hashem, and Hashem answered his prayers. Even though Hashem knew what his descendants were going to do to kill so many of Am Yisrael. But his Basher hu sham was on a good level. Then afterwards he went to, then afterwards, even his mother joined him, Roveh Kashat. She said, right, it's not worked out. You'll have to become a hunter. And she went back, or to some extent, to avoid the Zohar, they say. But Ishmael believed in one God, but in the name of that one God, the Pere Adam, became very wild. Where do we see it? In many different Bedouin attacks and so on. You see it also mentioned in the end, the Parashat Chayisara, it mentions the todos of Ishmael in detail. And there's hints here in the names of the also 12 groups amongst the descendants of Ishmael. And if you read it, read between the lines, so it describes here that at the end of Chayisara, before the Parashat Todos, so it says all the tribes of Ishmael. They won't go into all the names. In Kedah, for example, Kedah was the tribe of Muhammad. And the name Kedah was given probably because there were so many of the Bedouins who used to live in tents made up from black goats. You see, even until today. Umishma, Vaduma, Masa, three of them. Three of the 12. On this, the Midrash says, and the Rambam brings also get a tema. Now, I want you to bring the Rambam in his time. In his time, it was the growth, period, the growth, enormous growth of the Muslim Empire. And we know in the time of Muhammad, there's a certain amount of ambivalence in the way in which Muhammad developed his religion. First, he was an idolater. And then he claimed he had visions of some sort, visions of a more spiritual God, and that brought him to read the Tanakh, the Bible. So he said, who knows the Bible? The Jews. So he had a Jewish teacher, Talmud Chacham, who taught him the Tanakh. He wanted to become a proselyte. That was his aim. Because he saw, this is the truth. And even the revelations that he had, they came from the God of Israel. It's also the God of mankind. So it includes me as well. So I want to become a proselyte. But the teacher saw, and then he had high visions, as a strong character, visions, kept him, told him, he himself was also a prophet. So when he found he was also a prophet, so he rejected him. So then he decided, okay, he's going to take a teacher further, because it was still the beginning of learning all about the Bible. So he took a Christian teacher. In fact, my first wife was Jewish also. So the story, I won't go into all that now. But he turned from studying under a Jewish scholar, he went afterwards to Christian scholar. Then he left also Christianity and started on his own. And when they went one place, the Jews originally were quite positive towards him, then afterwards the Jews in most places became antagonistic towards him. So he also became a certain passage in the Quran which is antagonistic to Jews, other passages. Anyway, there's certainly passages that recognize that Moses was a true prophet, and all the indication the land of Israel is really for the Jews. Although if the Jews are too much against their own God who's given them teachings, so everything's going to be transferred to Muhammad's religion. I'll tell you about it. One thing kept Islam until today, the strength of prayer. They pray five times a day, and they pray with true devotion, and they believe there's one spiritual God who guides everything. But when it comes to fulfilling the Noahide code, let's speak until today. For example, the battle, the Kurdim, they are traditional Muslims. Traditional from the time of Rambam, let's say, where he describes what's the status of a Muslim. He says, status of a Muslim is that they're not considered idolaters in any way. They believe in one spiritual God just like we do. You can pray in their mosques. And he says, the Muslims, describes, in fact, the successor, in time of the successor of Muhammad, I think it was called Badr or something, he was very much in favor of extending the Muslim empire intellectually and to build up good relations with the Jews. And he says they're kind people and they fulfill the Noahide code. They will have to treat them like the Rambam said, like Chacham Umas Oilam. He says somebody keeps the Noahide code and they kept it because it's the teaching of Moses, and that's what the Jews have to keep, and that's what the Arabs have to keep. Jews have to keep even more, but the Arabs should also keep that according to the teaching of Muhammad. That's how the Kurds believe in that today. The Kurds have never been anti-Jewish. But unfortunately, the Kurds, therefore, of course, to do that, you've got to curb the Pere Adam. And unfortunately, in the last 100 years, and also even the time of the Rambam, in the time of the Rambam, I mean, he was later in Egypt in a Muslim society. He was at the height of Muslim society. And when he came to choose where, you know, he was in his early years, his brother was a big businessman, a merchant of diamonds and others, and he supported his brother. His brother was a big genius in everything. It's fantastic what the Rambam, what he knew in his time is unbelievable. In his short year, he didn't live so long, but he has had such a brain, which is very unusual. And he's always so great. So therefore, he supported him all the time to go to study, to get all the books he was able to read. But where did he get all these books from? But of course, he went to the libraries, but still, he managed to get checked many books. He knew inside out, not only books of Torah. I mean, he knew that many books is written in Arabic. He knew Arabic very well, on a high level. Anyway, so his brother supported him. Then his brother, unfortunately, was drowned in a shipwreck. And then, he studied so many sciences, also medicine. He was regarded as the top medical expert in the world. So even he got an offer from Richard the Lionheart to come to England. Of course, British jewelry would be different if that would have come there. But he opted for the Sultan. So he knew how good the Muslims were. But in his Gera Teiman, the letter he wrote to the Yemenites, who suffered from the extremists, there was an extreme streak in Islam right from the beginning. And that extreme streak wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And there was an ambivalence. Like today, the Kurds are very good to the Jews. Even the Moroccans, Muslims, on the whole, are positive towards the Jews. But the extreme element, over 100 years ago, the Mufti of Jerusalem, he began the Yichad. He said to Jews, because when Jews started settling in Palestine, so use this as a means of turning the whole of a great part of the Muslim world to become anti-Jewish. And this is hinted at already in our parsha, because they lo yichye when listen to the words of the midrash and the words of the Zohar. Zohar is really a midrash, the same thing, just worded in different ways. Shimon Yochai is Ashim Talmud Ikro, he was a great master of Midrash. So, they say that it says the Tsar of Ishmael, that means the spirit, when Avraham Avinu said, Lu Ishmael Yichi Lefanecha. So the covenant was with Avraham. And Hashem said, also, Ishmael has a great power, and they're important. They're taking the Brit Mila. And if you look at the end of yesterday's parsha, Brit Mila is the source for the covenant Hashem made of the land Eretz Israel. He made this covenant with Avraham Avinu, and who joined in that covenant, Brit Mila? Ishmael. Emphasize, Ishmael was at the covenant. Yitzchak wasn't born yet. Therefore, the promised land was linked with Brit Mila. And Brit Mila, the first one, was Ishmael. And therefore, this was the hope. He didn't yet see. You know, Sarah was still barren. So even Sarah may have thought, right, Ishmael is going to be the one. So therefore, the covenant on Eretz Israel was made with them. So he says, okay, what is the covenant? What's the nature of it? That here, I won't go into details now, it's not time, but there's two parts to Brit Mila. So Ishmael, for the part, you've seen about Brit Mila, the first part of the Brit, and also the person's having Brit by mitzvah, it's more difficult. The first is the chituch, you cut off the orla. The second is peria, where you have to draw back the skin and cut off the skin also, that's peria, in order to allow the crown to come forward. So, when he had the chituch, because it was painful, so he jumped and said, I'm not doing any more. Didn't want to do. So this, the Midrash goes deep and says, I'm not going to know the symbolism that lies behind this is something very deep, developed most clearly in the writing of Rav Hirsch, when it speaks about the symbolism of the Midrash, what lies behind it. So, Hashem said, okay, I'm making covenant with you, Avraham, because of your tefillah, because they have the name of God, they believe in one God, because they did Brit Mila, Eretz Israel will be given to Bnei Ishmael when it is empty of the Jewish people fulfilling their task. And therefore, that's the source of the struggle today. The anti-Jewishness of the Muslims is because Eretz Israel is involved, and they also have a bridge with Eretz Israel. It was promised to them, Ishmael also. And Ishmael wasn't entirely discarded. And it all depends on whether Am Yisrael in Eretz Israel, we fulfill the total of the covenant. When Am Yisrael says, when Eretz Israel is reich, is emptied out of Jews who fulfill the covenant with Hashem, then Ishmael has the upper hand. And that's what's happening today. And when it says, Yadova kol v'yad kol bo, and that's where it says, Yishmael. Now, so I want to ask you something. Time is short. But would you like me to continue with this tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Yes? Because they haven't said to bring it up to date a bit more. I'll give another shit on these lines, as long as you'll join in. Yes. Yeah? If you don't want to join in, I might go back to continuing the creation chapter, this is partly also goes to next week's parsha, and goes into the battle today between Desh and the Kurds, and other elements, Al Qaeda and so on. It's very contemporary, more so than any year. I'm going to tell you something tomorrow, which is amazing, from the Chofetz Chaim, to see what's happening today. The more I delve in, it's unbelievable. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Oh, it should have my name on, yes? I didn't give my name. Can you say this talk was given by Horowitz, Rosh Yeshiva Dvar Yerushalayim? Can you start it and just give that comment? Like an after comment, yeah? Because I didn't give it at the beginning.
I don't know how to...
Pardon? Okay, ask Elazar to do it. You can do it in Hebrew also.
Okay.
Ashir hazeh nitan al yedei Rav Horowitz Rosh Yeshivat Yerushalayim. Because then people will perhaps listen again. You know. Because this is not Kol HaLashon. It's something else, don't you? Around, but perhaps I'll tell Elazar. Of course, I don't know what Hebrew is up to it here.